Lord, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Begin today by looking at the text, Luke chapter 2, story of Simeon and Anna in the temple. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required of the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all peoples. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been seen as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly to God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth of Galilee. There the child grew healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The text begins, when the time came. Whoever said life would be easy? Here on this Sunday after Christmas, we have a story of an old man, Simeon, and an old woman, Anna, and a young couple waiting to see what would become of their son. So let's look first at Simeon. We only get a few clues from the text. First, we know his name, and we know that he resides in Jerusalem, and we know that he was a righteous and devout man waiting for something special to happen, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, we know that story, Israel's long history of waiting, 400 years of slavery in Egypt, 40 years of wandering in the desert, a long period of the judges followed by the establishment of the kingdom, Saul, David, Solomon, and then a slide into civil war, division, and finally exile and defeat. Israel had waited a long time for things to be right. Remember the scene from the movie Fiddler on the Roof when the townspeople of Anatevka are being forced to leave their homes yet again in another Russian pogrom. A few of the elders of the village are gathered around the rabbi, and one of the men says to the rabbi, "We have waited for the Messiah all of our lives. Wouldn't this be a good time for him to come?" And after some thought, the rabbi says, "We will just have to wait someplace else." They could only long for it. They could only look forward and wait for that new day. Like Simeon, waiting in the temple. But with Simeon, the Holy Spirit had come upon him and promised him that he would see the consolation of Israel, the salvation of Israel. He would see the Messiah when the time came. And when the time came, somehow Simeon knew. When Mary and Joseph brought their infant son to the temple to be dedicated to God, somehow he knew that this was the one. Year after year, this man, now grown old, came to the temple. He came hoping to find a Savior, a Messiah, God's anointed. Simeon refused to hope in the gods of this world, gods like the one the Romans would have him worship. In those days, a decree was put out by Rome. Whereas Providence has adorned our lives with the highest good, Augustus, whom she has filled with goodness for the benefit of humanity, and has granted us and those who come after us a Savior who has made war to cease and who shall put everything in peaceful order, with the result that the birthday of our God signaled the beginning of good news for the world because of him. Benefit of humanity, a Savior, good news for the world, put everything into peaceful order. Sound familiar? It's a longing common to all of us, a longing for good news, a longing for a world of peace, a longing for someone to put things right, a Savior. But Simeon did not see Caesar Augustus as that Savior. He did not see Caesar as good news for all people. The peaceful order of Rome meant the suppression of any other way of life. Simeon did not see God in power that dominates from above. Not in the ruling aristocracy of Rome. But Simeon, this old man, looked for God's Messiah to come in the temple. An old pattern, year after year, faithfully coming to God's house. And it reminds us to ask ourselves, what are our patterns, year after year? When the time came, somehow Simeon knew that this was the one. He took the baby Jesus in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Just think if someone held up your child or your grandchild or one of the children of our church and said, "This is the salvation of the world." The text tells us that Mary and Joseph were amazed at what was being said about their son, Jesus. This had been quite a ride for Mary and Joseph. When Jesus was born, shepherds had come and declared that angels had told them to come and worship him. And then wise men came from the east bearing expensive gifts for their son. And now this devout old man in the temple is singing the praises of their son. But whoever said that life is going to be easy? For Simeon's next words cut Mary and Joseph to the heart. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Jesus' life and ministry would not be easy. People would be offended by his honesty, his call that they repent, his call that they turn from their own ways and turn to God. People would be offended by Jesus, for he would make them face themselves, their own sin. They did not like that. We do not like that. And they would plot and eventually nail him to a cross. Simeon could see it. He could see that Jesus would be opposed and that Mary would feel it. The opposition to her son like a sword piercing her heart. Who said life would be easy, even for the Messiah and for his family? All of us have faced loss in some way, shape, or form. All of us have grieved the loss of a job or a relationship, or the loss of control, or the loss of hope, or the loss of courage, or the loss of a loved one through death. Whoever said life would be easy? A few weeks ago, Jane Hutchins Peterson, a member of our church, gave a class to the adults on grieving. And she invited a couple of guests from the Rice Creek Covenant Church, the church that this church sponsored back in 1991. One of those guests was Linda Brandt, who was an Abrahamson. She grew up in this church. Dave Abrahamson is still a member here, her father. And Linda shared the story of the death of her husband, Tim Beatty. It was a very tough year in the life of that young church. In 1999, in the course of 8 months, we lost 3 young men of the church. A 29-year-old to cancer, a 52-year-old to suicide, and then Tim, at the age of 38, leaving Linda and their infant daughter. Whoever said life would be easy? On one of my visits to Tim in the hospital, I asked him a question. He had gone through several surgeries, and always more cancer would come. Tim, I asked, are you tired of all of the pain and the suffering? And Tim said to me, if things were so good in this world, who would look forward to heaven? From the words of a young man with a family, so much to live for, and yet knowing he would die. It's not easy to lose a loved one. It's not easy to face the many and various difficulties that all of us face in life. But these difficult things remind us, as Tim reminded me, this is not our final home. We long for something more. We long for heaven. At the same time in that temple, the old woman Anna was also watching. The text tells us at that very moment, and we ask ourselves, what moment? What had just happened? What had just happened was Simeon's words to Mary, a sword will pierce your very soul. At that moment, Anna offers her praise and witness to the birth of the Messiah, Israel's hope. Whoever said life would be easy? The wonder of Christmas is not the supernatural birth of a baby. The wonder of Christmas is the very natural process of Jesus born of a woman. Jesus is not some celestial God who is above the law. That would have been familiar to the Greeks and to the Romans, whose gods were not bound by the laws of nature as we humans are. But this Jesus was born to a woman, fully human, under the law, a Jew. And the wonder of this Jewish baby born in Bethlehem was that this baby was born for all people. It is Simeon and Anna who had the eyes to see it. Simeon and Anna, who we may be quick to stereotype, they're too old to change, they're too set in their ways. But it is Simeon and Anna who saw the child, going about their tradition of worshiping in the temple. There is something about nurturing traditions as a congregation, as individuals, and as families. Everything doesn't have to be new and different all the time. We know that children learn from repetition, and we all learn from repetition. Sure, the children love the surprises of Christmas, don't we all? But it is the unchanging story that draws us in. Year after year we come, drawn by something strong and something powerful. Simeon and Anna came to the temple year after year after year. They came in hope. Hope that God would finally act. Hope that God would not abandon his people. Hope that they would see God's salvation. No, Caesar Augustus could not bring lasting peace, nor can any ruler or any government of this world. Not that we should cease to strive for justice and peace in our world, but we must do so being fully aware that that peace will never be fully achieved by our efforts alone. No, Simeon found what he was looking for in a child. A helpless infant brought to the temple to be dedicated, the old man Simeon took the child in his arms and praise God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Does it make a difference that this child was born? We still live in a world where we know fear and anxiety and loneliness. We still live in a world of injustice, of hunger, and of war. But if we can see with the eyes of faith, then we will know that our hope is not in vain. We will know that we are not alone. We will know that salvation comes not through kings and empires, not through might and strength, not through learning and power, but through God's presence with us in a child. In Jesus. Amen.